RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from Winter 1952. The Silent Killer, the 164th adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Lone dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Lone returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Lone swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask, his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, The Silent Killer. Chapter 1. Dangerous Habit. It was a pleasant, modest home of a typical American family. Tim Harris never thought of himself as anything but average, and his wife Anna was more than content. Tim Harris worked as a toolmaker, and a highly skilled one, drawing down a good week's pay, and nobody ever heard Tim Harris complain about conditions in this country. It was supper time, and the table held plenty of good food. There was a steaming pot roast with baked potatoes, gravy, two other vegetables, and a colorful salad by each plate. There were flowers of the homegrown variety in the center of the table, and Mrs. Harris had just changed to a fresh dress. Tim Harris came in exactly on schedule and liked what he saw. He kissed his wife soundly, talked about minor details at the plant, then went to get washed up. 10 minutes later, they were at the table, but the third chair was empty. Tim Harris said, "Where's Joey? Has that kid forgotten you have to eat to live?" Mrs. Harris sighed. "I don't know what's come over him lately, Tim. Just these last 2 or 3 months, he's changed so. He skips more meals than he eats, and for a 17-year-old boy, that's not good."
"Ah, he's probably got growing pains," Tim grunted and tackled the beef. Then he looked up with a grin. "Maybe the lad's in love."
"Don't fool about it, Tim. I really think he's sick. He never talks to me anymore. He stays out late and sneaks off to bed. His schoolwork is poor. There must be something the matter."
Tim Harris said, "Well, let's take him to the doctor. We might as well be on the safe side. When he comes home..."
"He's home now, Tim, up in his room. I'll call him. No, his door just opened. He must be on his way down. Be gentle with him, Tim. He must be sick."
The boy who walked into the dining room actually did look sick. He was abnormally pale, thin, and highly nervous. He managed a smile that seemed to require a great deal of effort.
"Hi, Dad. Mom. I'm not hungry. I had a double soda around 4, and it almost made me sick to my stomach. I can't eat. And I made all this because I know you like everything, Joey. What's come over you?"
"Nothing, Mom. I'm just not hungry, that's all."
Tim Harris said, "If he won't eat, he won't eat. Sooner or later he'll get hungry. And listen, Joey, if those sodas make you that sick, stay away from them."
"Okay, Dad. I need some money."
Tim Harris put down his fork and leaned back. "Again? Seems to me you've been asking for a lot of money lately. What is it this time?"
"It's Beryl's birthday. I'm going to her party tonight, and I got to have $20.
Tim Harris gasped.
$20 for a present? What are you buying?